Kentucky.com today.
Hey, America. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. What a cooler buzz as we move down the overnight highway, talking about a whole bunch of things in this hour, including, of course, the fear over what Irene is going to turn into. But before we forge ahead with that, can I just say that I'm still stunned that there was a 5.8 on the Richter scale earthquake in the East Coast? And what I love is the people in California all day long ripped on the people on the East Coast about what weenies they were when it came to earthquakes, what novices. And, of course, because the people in the East don't live on the San Andreas Fault, they're not used to earthquakes, other than what they see on the tube of what disastrous thing has happened in California. But some things did happen. In Richmond, especially, and in Virginia, what happened was that you had half of a building collapse. You had some cars that were covered in bricks that had fallen. Nobody got hurt in that. You had also a little bit of a collapse in Baltimore on a building where a side of that had come down. The Washington Monument has a crack in it. It's closed. Their structural engineers are looking at it. It's going to be closed for a while. The National Cathedral had some things that had fallen off the top of it, attached to the spires. They came down, so there was clumps of rubble and cement around the cathedral. And you had a whole lot of people that were questioning whether they were thinking that something was swaying or somebody was shaking tables or whatever, because they're not used to that. And, of course, the big concern in Virginia, the first thing you think of, where does your mind go? Fukushima, Japan, the earthquake there, remember, back in March. So here we go again, nuclear power plants. But the governor quickly cleared all that up. Here's what Governor Bob McDonnell had to say about the response and how it all worked out in the end.
The damage is more widespread and more significant than the preliminary reports that that we had gotten yesterday. Everything went exactly the way it was supposed to, both there and at the Bear Garden gas plant.
Yeah, so that's the good news. A little bit more damage than they thought, but everything with the power plants immediately kicked in, and they did what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to go offline, and that's exactly what happened. Well, there's no escaping the path of Irene. At this point, you think of hurricanes, you think of a category 4 or 3, 120 miles an hour. You know, Andrew was a Cat 5, and the destruction, ask anyone in Miami, was unbelievable. I mean, flattened Miami. People were out and about in the streets for a long time. There were little tent cities that were set up because winds at that point, if you go back to 92, got up to 175 miles an hour. Do you know how much damage was caused by Andrew? $41.1 billion. It actually, if you look up anything on hurricanes, and certainly we've had some serious devastation, it is the second costliest hurricane in U.S. history. So what happens now? At this point with Irene, is they say the rain bands of Irene are going to reach the Carolinas, the Eastern Carolinas, on Friday. And then you've got that front that could lead to the heavy rain. And then that increases off the eastern tip of South Carolina on Friday into Saturday. And that's where it really picks up. The winds maybe 130 miles an hour, that's flattening tree kind of winds. That's significant damage to homes and buildings. And, yeah, that's a lot of danger to people and to property in the Outer Banks. If you've got a storm surge 7 to 13 feet above normal water levels, too, pounding waves, think of the Barrier Islands. It could be pretty bad. And looking at the map, it just could smash right into the Outer Banks, at least the direction it's looking at now. You've got a lot of the people who were there vacationing ordered to get out of that area. They estimate about 150,000 people. And this is a hurricane that follows closely in the footsteps, they're saying, of another hurricane that was pretty bad in 1991 called Hurricane Bob. And once that happens with the rain and all that sort of stuff, and once it takes a turn, then it's going to go up the rest of the East Coast, but dissipate. It looks like it would dissipate a little bit more. So you're looking at this, and does it change? Because sometimes what happens is the tracks change maybe even five more times. So it's sort of like people, you can't fool yourself that it can't hit some other place because it can take a turn. And I think what happens, it looks like it could be epic, though. It looks like it could be an epic hurricane. And I think that if I lived in that area, honestly, I would close things up and I would just go inland because you can always come back. Geez, if it turns out it dissipates a little bit more and is mother of all storms somehow doesn't turn into that, the easiest thing to do would be to go back. It's not so hard to drive further inland and be away from it, away from the nonsense, and then just come back instead of trying to risk it, trying to ride it out. I think that would be foolish because it absolutely is going to pack some kind of a punch. If it's a Cat 4, you know, that's one below what Andrew was. And you think of Virginia Beach. I know some of you are listening to us there. You think of Maryland and some of the people on the coastline. Anybody right on that beach, it's a whole different story than when you're inland. But even Andrew, if Andrew was so bad and it didn't matter where you were, it was devastating either way. It just really ripped up Miami. Once it hit land, oh, Dade County, forget about it. You look at those old pictures and you wonder how half of those people survived. It was that bad. And you heard what I said about the dollar amount on it. All right, coming up here on America Tonight, a couple of things, including the fact that Rick Perry is now in the front of the pack in the latest Gallup poll. Of course, the Gallup poll, they do the tracking where they do it every day. And this is based on preferences of Republicans and Republican-leaning independents. Rick Perry would have 29% of those people to Mitt Romney, 17%, to right behind Romney, Ron Paul at 13% of those people. Michelle Bachmann comes in after that with 10%. And then it really goes down the line from there. Herm Cain and Gingrich and Santorum just with, 4, 4, and 3. And John Huntsman doesn't really show up. 1% is what he got. So, you have to assume that maybe some things start to shake out a little bit more. But every day they come up with these polls, and we'll see how it continues to trend as we get closer toward 2012. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver, the best pharmaceutical grade available, and all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with Uhimbe and Super Fem Plex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps, summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature one person at a time.
Tonight, believe it or not, we're bringing back birthdays. Oh, yeah. We got to tell you about some of the people that are celebrating a big day. Another day above ground, my grandfather used to say, is a good day. How can you complain about that? All right, we've been through the Irene scenarios, and I know I've talked about the stories before, having been through a couple of hurricanes, the biggest one, Agnes, when I was a kid, and not being able to really leave, but still it was okay, because if we had been on the road, that would have been worse, and it was almost like a surprise deal. Here with Irene, it's not a surprise deal. That's why I was emphasizing, why not just go inland? And even if it's a hassle, it's not that much of a hassle. You just go for a night, go out Friday morning or whatever as the storm gets closer, and try to ride that out someplace else and then come back in, because it's uncertain. That's what the deal is. It's just uncertain. Anytime you look at a weather map and all you see is a blob of green, I think that's frightening. It's not worth holding out and trying to play chicken with your life as to what it could be, unless there's just suddenly it just dissipates all of a sudden. But that's not going to happen. I mean, it's not going to happen. So we're talking about these earthquakes that happened in the east, and talking about Irene, and in between all of that, I mean, it's the buzz in our backyard is what's happened with Mother Nature here in the last 24, 48 hours. But there was an earthquake in Peru. And do you know that on the Richter scale, you talk about a 7. A 7 means there's a whole lot of damage or a whole lot of people that are frightened if it's in a area where it's not as populated. And northern Peru, luckily, is that kind of area. But certainly there were some people around. 7.0. And you look at Lima. I was looking at a map today to try to figure this out for myself. And of course, I'm sure it's printed all over the place. But you look at Lima, and it's the epicenter was about 350 miles northeast of Lima, 50 miles outside of that Pucallpa, Peru, I think is how you say it. And they say there was no victims and no significant damage. There was an aftershock, but the reason partially is because you're talking about an area that's a little bit more sparse when it comes to population. Now, it did hit in that border with Brazil, so it was there. It was close to that Brazil area, but definitely not deep enough in to cause damage. And then you have a 6.4 that hit off of Japan. So you have that, and you had what happened in the U.S. Wow. So it's all of a sudden we're talking about a whole lot of earthquakes. There was an earthquake that could be heard, so to speak, in the halls at Apple, from what I understand, because Steve Jobs officially resigns his position on Wednesday. So you know he's not feeling well. I mean, you know that he's ill. He's battled all kinds of things, the pancreatic cancer. You can see it in the photographs. It makes sense if he's battling something where he might not live that much longer, why would he continue to do what he's doing day after day at Apple? And in the statement they released, they didn't say anything at all about his health. He sort of alluded to it, I guess, in his letter of resignation that he sent to the board, because he said if there was ever a time when he couldn't do what he had to do duty-wise and for expectations as the CEO of Apple, then he would let everybody know. And he had been on medical leave since January, and you had the COO, a guy named Tim Cook, who was filling in, I guess, to alleviate the fears of shareholders, because that's always the concern, what's going to happen to the stock. Tim Cook has been around, and he's been around Steve Jobs a lot and been there for a lot of the decisions, but he's still not him. I mean, the Oracle is Jobs. So there has to be a concern down the line that something could change with Apple, because really, Jobs is the rock star. And it's tough to pass the torch there. I mean, this is the end of an era. And maybe he's had this sabbatical and he got a liver transplant and he's had some other things happen. You know, maybe he bounces back after this. I would have to think that there just has to be something here that is related to health. And the last time anybody saw Steve Jobs, at least a public appearance, was in June. Because remember, he unveiled the iCloud, which was a storage and syncing thing, service, and talked about some other things that were coming. And it's interesting to think that Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak co-founded this thing in 1976. And I love these stories from a family garage. A family garage. That's what they did. That's what happened there. And the rest is history. The iPad went crazy. Everything that they release, it becomes like a huge party that you have to attend. People wait in line, and it's creates massive buzz. So the second largest company in the world, market-wise, value-wise, second largest company in the world, billion-dollar products that were produced. If you go through the list, you think, what do you have? Do you have any of these in your arsenal? Do you have an iPhone? Do you have an iPod? Do you have iTunes, iMac, iPad, any of that? I'm sure any of the competitors wish that they had come up with it, because they're always playing catch up to jobs. And he, in the entire time he was there, he was like the Magic Man. Yeah, and I think that's part of it. It was what's coming up next, what's happening, what's new, what's next, what's faster, what are we going to see? And I think a lot of people are wondering how this company runs without him. There's been a lot of speculation over the Jobs resignation. But one of the things that I think he leaves is just an incredible legacy behind him of, again, that creating all those things, the products that debate, the Mac versus Microsoft, how long has that been going on? Even the commercials, think of the commercials, that's what the whole commercial thing is about. And sure, they've had a few misses, but not a lot of misses. I mean, pretty much everything, especially lately, has been incredibly successful, and people just refer. It's just the iPod, the iPhone, and there's copycats, but the copycats still are not like the original. I was on a train one time in Dallas, and there was two kids, probably they were, 10, 11 years old, and they saw my phone, This kid said to me, he was listening to his, he had his earphones plugged in and took them out, he's like, oh, is that the iPhone? Yeah. It's like, I forgot my iPhone, and the other boy had a different phone, and I said, well, you're listening to that. Isn't that just as good? And you know what he said? He said, there's still nothing like the original, the iPhone. He couldn't have been more than 11. And that's all these kids in this generation are growing up with that, and that's Jobs. That's his baby. So now this company has to run without him, run with a substitute. In the beginning, I think it could be fine. I think it's just a matter of where do they go after that. Coming up later this week, we'll talk a little bit more about Dick Cheney, because Dick Cheney is about to make some big news. He's got a book that's going to be released in the next week, and he says his book, this is how he describes it, his book, it will have heads exploding in D.C. Who does he rip up? If you had to put together a list, who would be on Cheney's hit list? His book, by the way, is called In My Time. In My Time. So he's going to talk about the whole vice presidency thing and maybe a few things before that. But you think of those 8 years and all the things that happened and some of the back and forth with the Democrats, the Republicans, and the Democrats. I think some of that probably is covered in there. If he's saying that heads are going to be exploding, I think there has to definitely be a few bombs in there probably. Stay with us. Much more to come here on America Tonight.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop. Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA approved food grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
OpticsPlanet.com is where discerning gun owners and outdoorsmen go to gear up. OpticsPlanet has the best selection of rifle scopes, red dots, night vision, holsters, bags, and tactical gear on the planet. With always low prices, free shipping on most orders, and expert customer service. Go to OpticsPlanet.com/GCN to get a free gift with purchase. That's OpticsPlanet.com/GCN or call 800-332-OPTICS, 800-332-6784.
Democrats, Republicans, have you had enough? Want real change? Then change yourself. Join a new political party formed to liberate the American people from the banksters who have overthrown the Republic. If you agree with maximum liberty, limited government, and traditional morality, then you agree with American Third Position. Get more information now. Call 800-513-4928 or go to a3p.me. That's A, the number 3, p.me. It's time to take America back.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy. The best you can buy.
But it is America Tonight, and we are coast to coast and beyond the borders thanks to Pal Talk. If you go to americatonight.net, you'll see me waving all our friends in the UK and down under and all around. And a big shout out to Jack and the crew doing a fine job there, and also a shout out to Bob and the boys in the UK, probably eating some fish and chips right now. Well, maybe it's too early for fish and chips. Eggs! They're eating eggs. Eggs and, what do they call them? Not fries. Oh, it's another word. It's been so long since I've been to England. Help me, somebody. There's so many names for potatoes. And I can't think of what it is right now off the top of them. Well, chips. Eggs and chips. That's what it would be, the same thing, right? All right, so eggs and chips, probably not the big concern for Muammar Gaddafi. But here's the thing. He's missing in action. Yes, what happened? There was all those grandiose speeches about, you know, this is it and what'll happen now. And They're closing in, getting close, closing in on Gaddafi. Rebels are hunting, actually, the former dictator, because now there's a $2 million bounty on his head. So there's even, you know, there they're going to take the money. That's fine. We'll find him. We'll take it. But will they find him? Apparently, it was crazy. The tunnels underneath Tripoli were out of this world, you know, like catacomb-like almost. So now there's a bounty. Now there's an even bigger reason, like I said, the $2 million. And there are a lot of rebels that are trying to get him, trying to get Gaddafi. And they're trying to just make their way all around Tripoli, basically, because he's got a fortress sort of like compound in that city. And some people believe he's still there, that he's not anywhere in Algeria or some of the other spots that have been mentioned before. So he wasn't at home when they stormed the fortress. Now, he spoke to people through an address, basically, to the Libyan people on Wednesday on local Tripoli radio, saying that he had to retreat. It was just a tactical maneuver, and it was all because of the NATO airstrikes that brought down his government, and he vowed basically that he would kill himself, you know, martyrdom, or I shouldn't say kill himself, martyrdom, or a win in the battle against the what he's calling the alliance. Now, another little snippet, and this is through a translator, another little snippet from Gaddafi talks about telling the people to go to the streets and help him. Help him. Take a listen.
I call on all the Tripoli residents with all its young, old, and armed brigades to defend the city, to cleanse it, put an end to the traitors, and kick them out of our city.
Did you like that? I like the translator with the British accent. Okay, so go and cleanse the streets. Fat chance any of those people are going to run out and do that. I have a feeling that that's not what's going to happen, especially not when they were used as human shields. You know, maybe military loyalists to them, but not anyone else. Most people are going to stay in their house because the sky is filled with gunfire. Filled with it. So, yeah, you might have had some people in cars on the road, that kind of stuff. But mostly, if they're in the middle of this in these neighborhoods, they are jamming inside. They are staying inside and waiting to get word that there's been a fatal blow to Colonel Gaddafi. And you would have to think specifically by the numbers that this has to be a matter of time. But haven't we been saying this since February? I think we have. So Gaddafi, at least for a few more days, has outsmarted the rebels. They can't find him. And some of the loyalists, Gaddafi's loyalists, released about 30 journalists that they were holding inside one of the hotels, because over the weekend they were actually taken at gunpoint as some of the rebels advanced on the capital. And all the journalists now are free. They're out of the hotel, and the Red Cross people that were on hand took them, you know, grabbed them, scooped them up, you know, whatever. Especially there was four Italian guys who were abducted, and their driver, and unfortunately they were killed outside of Tripoli. And that is territory that they say is normally under rebel control. So you have the journalists that get released from the hotel, and then you have this situation with the Italian journalists. So they had to have been killed by Gaddafi people, because otherwise that doesn't make any sense, right? I'm assuming that's what happened anyway there. He keeps saying, like I said, that it's a tactical maneuver, and that's the reason why there was a retreat. But I say, why can't they get this guy? He's like a rat in the tunnels of New York City. Is it that hard? I cannot. He's not by himself. He has to have an entourage that's unbelievable. And somebody knows something. I always think somebody knows something. Maybe they'll squeal for a little taste of some money. If the rebels were smart, they're probably doing that because they're trying to get them, certainly partially to get the money. And people will talk. I think with Gaddafi, people will talk. It's a different situation than, like, the crazy hunt for Osama bin Laden. I think that somebody knows something, and they'll probably squeal, and then they'll be able to get them, right? Of course, we could just remember this. I'm going to write this time down. We can remember this. We're going to time stamp it. And if I'm going to say the same thing in 2 months, then I'm done with the story because it's, I think it's crazy that they can't shake him out, can't snuff him out. I got to talk about this here because, as I mentioned, some odds and ends. This boggles my mind. I guess in a way it doesn't, but people going to the parks, the beauty of the parks, you think about it. You think of Yellowstone. I have a friend going to Yellowstone. You think of Yosemite and how people just desperately want to go to Yosemite. It's incredible. It's beautiful. You look at that territory. You look at the falls. You look at all that it offers, and it really is something of beauty to see. To grow up in this country and not have a chance to see Yellowstone or Yosemite, that would be a shame. No matter if you live in New York or Connecticut or Illinois or Vermont or wherever, because it's worth getting a glimpse of it. But at what price? What is going on with people when they go there? Do they feel like they're invincible and they can climb up these slippery rocks, these granite rocks, and they're going to be okay? Or they're trying to get the ultimate picture and they don't realize that there's such a chance they could fly off those rocks? They've had 17 people this year killed in Yosemite. 17 that have died, anyway. 17 have died. And some of them, it was simply a matter of getting a picture. Oh, no picture is worth that. I can't imagine being in that group where there were students and that happens. I mean, that's just one of those things where it's happening in front of their eyes, and there's nothing you can do. There's no way to help them. And I would have to think that they're a little worried at Yosemite. Because, yes, they have signs up, and it's a giant, giant facility. There's no way to police everyone there. There's no way they could do that. But why aren't people taking the warnings? Are people just that crazy that they're willing to take risks like that? I don't understand. If someone has a bead on it, I mean, it's the adrenaline. If it's a matter of climbing, I get that adrenaline rush thing and doing it and not worrying about it because that's what you do. You don't fear it. But I don't think that's what it is in some of these cases, certainly not for the people that were getting the pictures taken. They wanted their picture taken, and that was that. They just went too far over toward the edge and then fell in, and that was it, and there was nothing to hold on to. Wow. But what a creepy phone call that must be for any of those park guys to have to make, because they've had to do it 17 times. 17 times. That it seems very, very high to me. Part of it has to do because of the snow and then the runoff with the snow, and things are slipperier and people aren't thinking about it. They're not thinking it's slippery. And that's why some of them have shifted and fallen over the cliffs and things like that, because they've just completely lost their footing, and there's not, then there's, what are they grabbing onto? And they're going over, and that's it. Poof. And there's nothing anybody can do. There was one person who tried to help their friend, and sadly, they went over as well because there was no way to stop it. There was nothing to grab onto, and then they're over the falls, and they're finding their bodies days later. Coming up, we can count. It includes an update, because after all, a number is always attached to a hurricane, on Hurricane Irene.
Fresh.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. Why Ali-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.
What would you do with a check for $25,000? What if you could eliminate all of your credit card debt in 90 days and keep all of your money? Hi, I'm Jason Davenport, and I've just completed ZeroDebt100.com, a program that stops and prevents debt collections of all kinds, including debt collectors and foreclosures, with guaranteed results. Forget loan modification. Zero Debt showed me how to get the banks to pay my property taxes and insurance while stopping my foreclosure without paying one dime. An attorney tried to garnish my wages, but the court denied his request because of what I filed from the Zero Debt program. Find out how I did this by calling Zero Debt today at 800-477-9256. Tell them Jason sent you and ask for the Zero Debt special and the free bonus promotion about stopping an IRS levy and getting your money back. Tell them Jason sent you and call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256 or visit www.zerodebt100.com.
This is not a drill.
Repeat,
this is not a drill.
Gun sales are on a staggering pace.
Gun prices are going through the roof, and that means desperate, vicious criminals now want your guns
and will do anything to get them.
Now, a new book reveals powerful secrets for hiding your guns from thieves and looters. You'll learn step-by-step battle-hardened techniques, where to hide your guns so criminals will never find them,
how to create the perfect hiding place,
as well as the places you should never hide your guns
under any circumstance.
These and other closely guarded gun-caching secrets are guaranteed to keep your weapons safe and out of sight when the going gets tough.
But listen up.
For security reasons, the Hide Your Guns book and even the website may disappear without warning at any time. Go to hideyourguns.com.
That's hideyourguns.com.
Or call 877-327-0365.
Before they come for your guns.
Hideyourguns.com right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Welcome back to America Tonight. You know, I'm a huge music fan. Just don't ask me to repeat all the lyrics back to you. I have to hear them a bunch. My 10-year-old nephew always is bagging on me for messing up some of the lyrics. But regardless, I like music. I know a lot of you like music, all kinds of music. Did you know coming up this weekend is the 27th annual MTV Video Music Awards? And this thing has really blossomed into a very big show. Contessa Gales joins us now from AOL Music. And Contessa, it really has become a big deal, hasn't it?
It has. Since 1984, the VMAs have been airing, and every year it gets more and more crazy. There are more and more surprises, and each year, you know, it's like a new star is born at this award show.
Do you think there's pressure? Like, if I'm an up-and-comer and I have the stage, I'm a performer anyway, let's say, and I've got a hit song and I'm up for one of the categories, is there pressure to kind of one-up what happened? Like you said, it gets more intriguing, a little more controversial even every year. Is there kind of, maybe it's not pressure, but is there kind of a gamesmanship about, geez, maybe I can do something more extreme than happened last year?
I think there definitely is a sense of that, and the VMAs is one of those award shows that you're really allowed to do that, and it's encouraged. It's not like the Grammys, and it's not like the Oscars, where it's a little bit more reserved. It's kind of this anything-goes really fun and very youthful atmosphere, and I think you see from the red carpet to the performances, people repeatedly pushing the boundaries, whether it's Lady Gaga wearing a dress entirely out of raw meat, like she did last year, or Britney Spears and Madonna and Christina Aguilera sharing a kiss together on stage in 2003. There definitely is this kind of sense of let's have fun, let's just get away with whatever we can get away with for this night on this very special award show.
All right, and so the people that you'll see, of course, Britney Spears, you mentioned, Katy Perry, I still love Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, she's creative, you got to give it to her, Bruno Mars, Chris Brown, Lil Wayne, Adele, I like all those people, I like some of their music to be sure. Who do you think wins? What are some of your predictions about who's going to win? Who are the big winners in this one?
Well, I would say in the big categories, like Video of the Year, the biggest category of the night, you have someone like Adele who's nominated, and I think she really deserves to win for her hit Rolling in the Deep. She's had a huge, huge year. But there's also people like Katy Perry nominated for Firework. And the important thing to keep in mind when you're making predictions about this award show in particular is that the winners are determined by online voting, and anyone can vote for them. So it's a little bit unique in that sense. So really the artist's online presence and online following is a huge factor in who's going to win. So maybe you think that someone else deserves to win. They put out better quality work. But what it comes down to really is the fan votes. And so I would say maybe Katy Perry is going to walk away with Video of the Year for Firework just because she has this huge online following. Not to say that, you know, the video isn't great, but I think that factor really is going to play into it. Even in categories like, well, in categories like Best Female Video, for example, Lady Gaga, Born This Way, I think deserves to win and also will win because she also happens to have this huge online following in addition to being, you know, this creative artist that everyone has on the tip of their tongues all the time.
Yeah. The you know, talking about you're mentioning there, she has that big online following. That's huge now, isn't it? You got to... Even for these artists, the people around them have to be just so, I think, technologically advanced and just beyond creative. It's all about creating the buzz, isn't it?
Yeah, and social media has really changed the way that we interact with these celebrities as fans, and you know, keep up with the music that they're putting out and, you know, the performances that they're doing. Kind of tracking their every move through Twitter and Facebook, these different social media outlets, these artists can really connect with their fans in a way that we haven't really seen before. So, you know, another example, Best Male Video, there's a lot of top contenders, Eminem, Bruno Mars, CeeLo, Kanye West. But I think we might all be surprised and see maybe Justin Bieber walking away with that Best Male Video just because of what we call Bieber Fever. He has this rabid online following, so maybe you don't think he necessarily deserves to win, but maybe he will walk away with that Best Male Video.
Yeah, there's always rumors around, especially the MTV Video Music Awards show, there's always all kinds of rumors flying around. Have you heard any good ones about what might happen in the show?
Well, there was a hint dropped, and it's what everyone is talking about now. In a promo video, Britney Spears, she had her own promo video, and she basically at the end is it standing in front of this neon sign that says a tribute to Britney Spears. So that definitely sparked rumors that, oh, maybe this entire show is going to be dedicated to Britney Spears. Now, there hasn't been any official announcement from MTV or the VMA camp about that being the case. But, of course, that video promo certainly suggests that. And also in the promo, her music is kind of spliced in a medley with Madonna's hits and Janet Jackson's hits, and there's visual clues that kind of allude to Michael Jackson. So everyone is kind of talking about maybe this is going to be a tribute to Britney and there are going to be some huge stars coming out to honor her, you know, these stars that she looked up to and definitely influenced her. Maybe they're all going to come out and pay tribute to her, but we'll have to wait and see for that one.
Yeah. What about, you know, the other saucy thing about this award show, and I guess any award show, whether it's Hollywood people or music people, is who is going to hook up with who? Who's showing up with who? Do you have any skinny on any of that? Any predictions?
Well, I think the place to spot that is definitely the red carpet, and it's kind of always like, who is going to show up hand-in-hand walking down that carpet? I think to look out for this year, we have Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber, this young teen couple that has been together. But recently, in the past couple of weeks, there's been rumors that their young romance is on the rocks. So it'll be interesting to look out and see if they arrive together, if they're sitting together at the show, and the details of that. Also, Jennifer Lopez and Marc Anthony, who announced their split earlier last month, to see if there's any red carpet run-ins between them or interactions. And finally, I think Wiz Khalifa, the rapper, and Kanye West. Kanye West used to date Amber Rose, who's mm-hmm. a model, and now Wiz Khalifa is dating her. And Amber Rose has been very vocal about her relationship with Kanye and her current relationship with Wiz Khalifa. So it might be interesting to see how that love triangle kind of plays out when all three of them show up at the award show on Sunday.
Yeah, no kidding. You, in covering music, I mean, what a cool gig you have. You're an editor at AOL Music, so you've interviewed all kinds of stars. I mean, you are definitely in a great position, because that has to be really a kick for you. Who's the favorite? Can you narrow it down to one? Because people always ask me this question, too. Who's your favorite person so far that you've interviewed?
I would have to say that probably Demi Lovato, the Disney star who came out with her music and unfortunately had to do a stint in rehab for issues that included everything from eating disorders to depression at a really young age. She was probably my favorite just because she's now come out of this situation where she was in a treatment facility and put out a new single and has really been the comeback queen this year at only 18 years old, just showing strength and reaching out to young people, speaking candidly about what she's been through and trying to help people who are struggling with the same issues. So I really respected her for being so open and for all the work that she's doing, because a lot of these stars may not want to necessarily talk about their flaws and the struggles that they've been through. And I think it's very brave of her as such a young girl to reach out and try and help people and use her fame for something that could really have a positive influence on her young fans.
Yeah, and well said. The you know, you also interviewed Jordan Sparks, and when you talk about American Idol now, in the music industry, because so many have had success, is there a stigmatism attached to anyone who wins American Idol, who was a runner-up or has some success, or nah, it doesn't matter how you get there?
I think this day and age, there's so many different outlets. Like we said earlier, the online presence is huge, and YouTube is really playing a huge role in making stars. Justin Bieber was discovered on YouTube, and, you know, stars like Jordan Sparks, who are, and, you know, Kelly Clarkson and Carrie Underwood, who are really making it and breaking it on these reality competition shows. I think as long as you have the drive and you do anything that you can to get there, who cares how you get there, you know, as long as you keep your integrity along the way. You have talent, and it should be discovered no matter what the way of discovering it is.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think if there was a stigmatism before, I think that's gone away, you know, with Jennifer Hudson on back there and Kelly Clarkson you mentioned, and certainly there's been a slew of people who have come off that show that went on to their own kind of stardom. Contessa Gales, editor at AOL Music, thanks so much for coming on. I enjoyed this conversation. Thank you.